Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Come on. Welcome to Lifeblood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Babak Hoca. Babak, are you ready to do this?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Babak is an Iranian-American inventor, tech entrepreneur, and author. He's the chief technology officer of Cognizant, and his newest book is The Konar and the Apple, Fun, Beauty, and Dread from Awaz to California. Babak, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and what motivated you to put pen to paper and write the book.
Yes, I was born in London, went to kindergarten in Moscow, Idaho. And grew up in Iran, pre and post revolution and war, and got my PhD in Japan and ended up in California. So, been moving around a little bit. What motivated me to write the stories down? Well, I kept repeating the same stories in parties and gatherings. And I realized that while the stories were familiar for people, the setting was kind of weird to be, for example, in boot camp and in the police force in Iran, or, you know, with shelling going on in my town and all that kind of stuff, but the same familiar, life events. And, I started writing them down. The joke is if I go to a party now, I can just point out a chapter and say, go read that, so I don't have to repeat the whole thing.
What do people say when you say that?
I've yet to try it. The book just came out. I'll let you know. I'll have to try
it. Like, I'm sick of telling the story. Just read the book and come back. Like, how long is the chapter? Okay. All right. Got it. All right. So, you are I don't want to call you a technologist because now you're an author as well. What do you think about your identity as?
I am a technologist. I don't think of myself as an author. The book just kind of happened, would not have been published if I had not read a couple of the stories and people said, oh, you got to publish this. But my whole career has been in AI. I'm an AI entrepreneur and technologist, and ask me about AI and I'll talk to you for 2 hours. Ask me about writing a book. I really don't know what to say. I'll struggle.
So what was the motivator for writing it down or just starting to write? People were asking you constantly. They said you need to write it down. And so you just took the cue.
I've always been writing stories. I have many stories that have never been read to anyone. Just write it. I just, it comes to me, and I like the structure and having to tell a story, having a beginning, middle, and ending. I had a long commute. In the before times, we used to commute to work, and it was on BART, and there was no cell coverage back then on BART, and no decent Wi-Fi. BART is the transportation system here in the Bay Area. So when I got on, I knew I had like 45 minutes to kill, and I would just write stuff down. So I started writing these stories in 2012, 2013, and it was just a thing to do for me. There were many stories. I collected the ones that I thought had to do with this juxtaposition of this kind of westernized kid in a weird setting. So I put those together in the form of a book. That was the main motivation, I guess.
This westernized kid in a weird setting. So walk us through the timeline again of the actual ages when you're moving around.
Yeah, the story starts with the first real story in the book is before the revolution. The Shah is in his peak of megalomania, visiting our little school in Ahwaz. Ahwaz was this oil-rich town, still is, in the southwest of Iran. And I was going to elementary school there. And being in fifth grade, me and a couple of my friends were tasked with running around the school, taking carpets, because they didn't have enough carpets for His Royal Excellency as he's walking around. So right after he walked over some of the carpets, we were to pick these carpets and run around before he gets to the other side of the school and kind of lay them down. We were little kids. I mean, thinking about it, these were heavy, big carpets that we had to roll. And so that was the sort of the germinus for this story, kind of showing a little bit of the setting and the atmosphere before the revolution. And that's the first story. I don't have a lot of, I have interesting memories from before the revolution, not that many. I thought the revolution itself was a story that's been told a lot. So then we skip to after the revolution, there was a brief pause and peacefulness and openness right after the revolution before the war started with Saddam. And so, you know, I kind of go through all of that. And lo and behold, as I'm experiencing these stories, I'm also growing up. So that's part of it. It's kind of coming of age. And then, of course, I leave the country at the end.
I appreciate that. So your experience in these different places, westernized kid, strange places, are kids kids wherever they are?
Kids are kids wherever they are, and they're fun and it's cool. And the experiences are very, very similar, I think. But there is this duality, at least there was for me, of having grown up in a westernized society in the first few years of my life. And my friends were all mostly also westernized as well. It's so that kind of duality of seeing and then the society itself went through this transition as well. Before the revolution, people didn't wear the hijab, you know, there was a lot of civil liberties and it was a very westernized society, and it just went black and white. I talk about how, for example, my grandma was an atheist. Like, that's the kind of family I grew up in. And she grew up and lived in Iran all her life. So that transition from the constitutional revolution 150 years ago had taken place. And then suddenly we retracted back after the revolution. My mom was forced to wear the hijab, and she didn't like it. She was stubborn. I have a story where, she was told, you know, we were fleeing the war, and she was told she has to wear the hijab, otherwise we wouldn't get the hotel. And, we see glimpses of that as well. Futile resistance against this wave that's coming.
I mean, fascinating experience from your perspective, but then obviously her experience. I'd literally just can't.
Yeah, you know, actually, this is it's an interesting aspect of growing up. When you say, you know, is it common? One of the things that you experience as you grow up is that your parents are not the superheroes you thought they were, and you experience that sooner or later. You kind of go, oh, you know what? You're not as cool or right all the time as I thought you were, and you know, there is that too in the story, but you experience it with a higher power, which is this new government, this revolutionary government coming in and telling your parents they have to be in a certain way, and or the war coming in and telling your parents and that they have to pick up and leave and they can't live where they are and do what they do. And so you experience that not just from a perspective of a rebellious teenager, you experience that from the perspective of society kind of telling your parents that they can't do certain things, and you looking up and going, oh, if they can't get away with that, who am I to, you know, rebel? So there's a little bit of that too.
Yeah. Fascinating. Do you have kids?
I do. I do. I have two grown kids. They're both in the East Coast. They're great. And they're reading the book.
I mean, so your perspective growing up and your learning is what do you hope the book does? What do you hope the kids get out of reading the book?
You know, I was in college. I think I was doing my master's, and one day I thought, I got it. I know everything, all the challenges there are. I'm going to write them all down in chapters so that when I have a kid, I'll just pass this on to them. They'll read the various different chapters and they'll know. They'll know what to do when they're confronted with a girl. They'll know what to do, like to succeed at school. You know, it's just going to all be there because I just got it. And I wrote down the title of the chapters and I showed it to one of my friends. And of course, he made fun of me and he's like, you're crazy. What are you talking about? And he had a...
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
And he had an interesting time just making fun of the prospect of me being a dad someday. Anyway, and then when I wrote the book, I was like, this book is, I mean, it's not for my kids. It's for me, really. Let's face it. It's for me and my generation, maybe. I think they'll read it. They'll be curious. There will be things that they'll appreciate, and it will be interesting. It will be more a curiosity about what their parents went through. I don't know how much of it they would think is what they're going through. You know, I think everyone thinks they're going through something very, very unique themselves, even if their parents or their friends tell them, hey, this is fine. You're going to grow out of it. You're going to be, I don't know if you can tell people, you know, to relax, it's going to be okay. You know, do you think so? I mean, what do you think? Is that like if an older brother or parent told you, don't worry about it, it's going to be okay, what would you're like, you know, let me just go through this, you know, don't you think?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, the worst thing that happened to you is the worst thing that's ever happened to you. So that
exactly,
could either be
right?
Really catastrophic, like some of the experience that you went through or your mother, or it could be the experience of a rich kid or somebody who's well-to-do growing up in Minnesota that never really deals with any conflict. So both of those things can be true, right? And I could certainly revere and hopefully learn from your experiences, just like I've learned personally from, you know, the experiences of my grandparents living through the Great Depression and World War II and all that. So
exactly. Yeah.
You could tell your kids, listen, this is what your dad went through. I wrote this book when I was in college, and this is even better.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, they're fun stories to read. I think I look at them mainly as entertainment, I guess.
So your work as a technologist, you create things and then you turn them into the world. How is it similar, different to writing this book and releasing it into the world?
It's very similar, actually, now that you say that. With technology, you, at least for me, I saw this power in AI and in the lab as you run it on, you know, toy problems and so forth. And I've, all my career, I've had this craving to bring this out to the world and have it like make a difference, you know, make a change. And with the book, it's these stories that I have in me that I keep thinking, these are fun, cool stories. These are interesting. They're funny, mostly. A lot of them are. And interesting, and they have twists and turns that you can't predict. And you want to bring it to the world and just, you know, add to the fun of the world, I guess, for people to read them and enjoy them. And then, of course, once you actually put it out there, you're hoping that people do react to it the way you thought they would. And you never know. With technology, it's the same. You put it out there and you learn. There's a lot of what I think is easier with technology is you get to change it even past its release. You know, you get to put in version 1.2, 1.3, version 2.0, and you listen to your clients, your users, and you kind of fix it and improve it. With the book of stories, hopefully you go through a lot of that before it gets published, but once it's out there, you can't really touch it much. It is what it is. So it's rare that people would totally rewrite the book after the fact. So that's a little scary.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is that emotion? Is it just sort of nerve-wracking, terrifying?
Yeah. It's funny because we haven't done a lot of marketing around the book just yet. It's only just starting. But friends and family have read it. And some of the folks who are in the book have read it and they're like, oh, you made a mistake here. Or, oh, dude, you totally got it wrong. This guy wasn't saying this. He was saying some other thing. And I'm like, oh, oops.
Like super helpful.
Yeah, you should have read it before I put it out there. Yeah.
That's so funny. Fascinating, right? That I imagine that it's such a personal thing. Whereas, do you think that the technology you create is it the same? Does it feel the same?
Yeah, it's different in that respect. It's not as personal, but it is something that you've put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And it does become somewhat personal. When people criticize your technology, it's something that it's hard not to take personal sometimes. So yeah, there is a little bit of that, but you can always distance yourself with technology. It's a bigger play. The timing might not be right. The other folks who work on it could share the blame. You know, there's a little bit of that, but with a book, especially a book of biographical stories, it is rather personal. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly congratulations on writing it. How long from soup to nuts did it take you?
Well, I started writing it in, I think, 2012 or 2013. I was encouraged to actually put it together into a book in 2018, and went through a lot of iterations until we got it out just last month. So yeah, it's been quite a journey.
Well, certainly congratulations on all of it. So
thank you.
Well, I mentioned as we were talking before we turned on the show that I would ask you for a difference-making tip. So what have you come up with?
Well, I guess what I would say is there is bravery in putting yourself out there. That's you've won half the battle by just doing something and putting it out there. There will always be critics and that's fine. Don't take it personally. It's hard. Hopefully your admirers are more than your critics and listen to them too.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets, come on. Well, Babak, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you and where can they get a copy of Konar and the Apple, Fun, Beauty, and Dread from Awaz to California? Where can they get a copy of the book?
You can buy it on Amazon online. There's an audiobook, there's an ebook, and there's a printed copy. Actually, I have one right here.
Excellent.
That's me.
Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Babak your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Pick up a copy of The Konar and the Apple, Fun, Beauty, and Dread from Awaz, California, Amazon, wherever you buy your books, and check out the written version, the audio version, and all of it. Thanks again, Babak.
Thank you. Thank you, George. It's been a pleasure.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, as we are all in this together.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Stop letting mosquitoes control your outdoor plans. The breakthrough bug repeller from KillTheBugs.com creates an invisible 15-foot protection zone around you and your friends. Whether it's a family barbecue or a camping trip with friends, this bug repeller from KillTheBugs.com is a must, unless you love getting eaten alive by the buzzy flying creatures. Visit KillTheBugs.com and save 50% on your purchase of the number one mosquito and bug repeller in the United States today. Visit KillTheBugs.com.